Isaiah foretells that one day God would send his promised Saviour. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Thanks be to God.
The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she found that she was with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had it in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Thanks be to God.
The birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place whilst Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Because he belonged to the house and line of David, he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Thanks be to God.
The shepherds hear the good news. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us all about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had seen and been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, and which were just as they had been told. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's great to see so many of you here in church this evening, and great to see so many of you online, except I can't see you online. The reason I welcome those of you in church is last time I spoke in church, there were four people in front of me, and three of them weren't listening at all because they were just doing the technical stuff so people at home could get to see the service. So it's great to see some real bodies in church to hear me speak this evening. I hope I'm not going to disappoint you. I'm going to try and not go on too long, but it's great to have you with us on this very strange period of Christmas. A few weeks ago, earlier this month, as the news was on, while I was having my breakfast, my attention was grabbed by the news that the Yorkshire Dales and the North Yorkshire Moors had been designated as a dark sky reserve. Now, I don't know if you know what a dark sky reserve is, but it means they've limited the amount of light. And the reason they've done that is so that you can see the stars in all their wonder and glory, and you don't see the lights of the motorway instead. And I think the fact there aren't any motorways in the Yorkshire Dales or on the North Yorkshire Moors means they can get that to happen. What struck me about it is, this isn't the first dark sky reserve in the UK, but what struck me about it was that it flies in the face of our technological advancement over thousands of years. And over thousands of years, our aim has been to create light and to get more light. And apart from that period over the Second World War, when blackout became a thing, generally our move has been to get light. The people that Isaiah was speaking to didn't need to be in a dark sky reserve. They were already in darkness. And in that first reading we had this evening, we find in verse 2 of Isaiah 9 that he says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. See, the people Isaiah was speaking to and proclaiming his message to were going through a hard time. The nation was struggling. They'd fallen out with their immediate neighbours and their trading partners, and those old alliances had broken down. They were trying to build and forge new alliances and new trades with distant superpowers. But they knew they were going to be the junior partner in any deal that was agreed. The government was weak and uncertain, and leadership was lacking, and there was no real coherent strategy to face these challenges. They were fearful of being overrun, fearful for losing their livelihoods, fearful for losing their homes, and fearful for their lives. It seemed chaotic, and that was in addition to the normal hassle of the car failing its MOT or the dishwasher not working. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Do you recognise those sorts of times? When people are fearful, when it's a bit chaotic, when leadership may be lacking? It was written over 2.5 centuries ago. Those were the people that Isaiah was speaking to. And perhaps it shows that things don't change very much in 2,500 years. You see, if you live in darkness, it curtails so much of what you can do. As the world has become more developed and we seek to have spread that development, it's often involved electricity to give light so you've got more working hours, so you can study more, so you can see what you're doing. And that's the bonus and the advantage of light, that we're able to do more. Have you tried walking in the dark? It's not very easy. Perhaps you, like me, have to get up in the middle of the night to the dog. And as I walk along the landing, I try not to put any lights, switch any lights on, because I don't want to wake Rosemary up. But you know what happens? You crash into something on your left. So you go to the right, and then you crash into something there. And you lurch from one bump to another as you stagger down, or as I stagger down, to try and sort out the dog. Isaiah's answer to those people who were walking in darkness, who were living in darkness, is to promise a child. And he says in verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Four names. Not because they were indecisive, not because they couldn't make up the line, not because they were trying to look very grand by having lots of middle names, as some people do, but four names because they conveyed massive meaning about that child. Massive meaning about what that child would represent and what would they bring. And I want to spend just a couple of minutes this evening just thinking about those names, looking at them in a bit more detail. The first one was Wonderful Counselor. What does it mean? Well, counsel is someone who's wise, someone who's got wisdom. It's not that they're super intelligent, it's not they're super skilled, but they're wise. They're able to weigh up all those competing priorities and discern what is the best thing to do. They're able to work out the way ahead through difficult circumstances. And they can make those difficult decisions and determine the direction that the country needs to take. Isaiah was saying this child who's going to be born is going to be wise, is going to give you direction, and he's going to take you in the right way. You're not going to be floundering around, changing your mind, going in different directions. He's going to lead you because he'll be wise to know the best way to go. The second name is that of Mighty God. Now, mighty means someone who is victorious, can overcome any opposition. That's the sort of person they are, but they're also God. It's a bit like that, you know, the friend you always wanted at school. You know, when people were nasty to you, you wanted someone to come along on your side and sort them out. Tell them what to do. Tell them to push off. And someone who's big enough and strong enough and, you know, looked fearsome enough so they wouldn't quibble with them and wouldn't argue back. And Isaiah's saying is that this child is going to be someone who is going to be able to overcome any opposition. And their God as well. A God who can't be defeated, no matter what opposition and what they come up against. The third name is that of Everlasting Father. And that immediately, doesn't it, convey relationship. Relationship between a father and their child, between Jesus and his father. And it expresses care and concern, and a sense that the father would protect those who are less weak or those who are helpless and care for his people. But it's an everlasting father. It's a relationship that doesn't stop. It doesn't break down when you kick off and throw a tantrum and be an awful teenager. It doesn't destroyed when you say the wrong thing or you mess things up. It's a relationship that goes on. Now, I'm sure I was that awful teenager at times. In fact, I know I was. But my relationship with my father was a good one and a great one, and I enjoyed it. And we had a close relationship. But he died when I was in my early 30s. And I have to say, since then, there's been hundreds of things that I wanted his opinion on. When that car makes a funny noise, someone you can ring up and say, "What do you think it is?" When you put on the paint and it starts going into blobs, he would have known what to do. That relationship came to an end. But Isaiah is saying there's a father with a relationship that will be everlasting. And that's what this child is going to bring. The fourth title is Prince of Peace. And peace obviously means that absence of war and that sense of reconciliation with opponents. But it also means much more than that. It means that sense of fulfillment, that sense of being at harmony with yourself and with God, that sense of being at harmony with mankind, that sense of being complete and being fulfilled. And as a prince, he would bring that and spread that to his people. Isaiah was saying, a child is coming. A baby will be born who will bring these four characteristics of being a wonderful counselor, of being a mighty God, of being an everlasting father, and being the Prince of Peace. And his hearers knew that this was the sort of leader that they needed, that they wanted, that they craved. But they also knew it wasn't a description of their king. And so they looked for the child, and they thought, it's going to be his son, King Hezekiah. And so they were expectant that when the prince was born and he became king, he would change their fortunes. And they were disappointed. You see, Hezekiah didn't live up to what they were hoping. He only turned to God at the end of his life and turned to prayer at that stage. And by the time he died, the northern kingdom of Israel was still in captivity. So he wasn't the answer. And I guess the people sort of said, well, we thought it was going to be Hezekiah. Is it an empty promise from Isaiah? And the incredible thing is that for 700 years, that proclamation that Isaiah made, that sense of promise, was left hanging there, unfulfilled, uncompleted. And then as Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary, he picked up some of these themes. And Matthew, when he came to write his gospel, begins to talk about the ministry of Jesus going around. He actually picks up verses out of this chapter and says, this is it. You've been waiting 700 years. This is the man. This Jesus is that baby. This Jesus is that child that Isaiah promised. And that's why we get excited at Christmas. Because for 700 years, people have been waiting for a child who was special. And Matthew looks at him and he says, this is the man. 700 years later, we're now there. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. We don't celebrate the snow. We don't celebrate just the angels. We don't celebrate the nice story and the nativity shows that you can go and see in a normal Christmas, in a normal year. We celebrate that God's promise was fulfilled after 700 years when this baby was born. So let me ask you this evening, do you feel like you're walking in darkness at times? Do you feel sometimes that you're floundering around, that you're fearful and uncertain, perhaps because of the pandemic, that you're fearful for your health or health of members of your family or those you know, or fearful for your job? Do you long for that sense of fulfillment and peace? Perhaps you listen to the news and it's depressing, and it certainly is. And yesterday it just got worse, didn't it? You know, at lunchtime you thought something was going to happen, and by 6 o'clock you knew it was worse than you thought. And do you sense, long for that sense of hope and those sense of relationships with people that you haven't been able to see? Or do you feel your life is like that, walking in darkness, as you just crash from one crisis to another and you lurch from one devil to another? See, I think if we're honest, that all of us feel a bit like that at times. And when we read the passage, this passage, inevitably we focus on the light that's come in. But that wasn't the experience of the people. The experience of the people was the chaos, the darkness. the floundering around. And the child that was born wasn't born for that perfect Christmas card of twinkling stars and snow and carol singers. He was born for the darkness, for the litter that's hidden by the snow, and for those who have no spirit to sing because they're despondent and worn out. The light dawned in darkness and brokenness. And so I want to say to you this evening, look again at that baby. Look again and remember who he was. Perhaps take some time over these next few days to think again about these names, to reflect on them, to allow them to speak into your situation and the challenges you're facing. Allow them to become real for you, what that child offers. But the other thing I'd want to say to you is remember, we've got a God who keeps his promises. 700 years went by and they waited. God didn't let them down. He didn't forget them. He fulfilled what he said he was going to do. Rejoice. We don't serve a fickle politician who changes their mind. We serve a God who is faithful, who is reliable, and on whom we can depend. And Isaiah knew that. And this Christmas, do I need to rediscover that? Amid the uncertainty, we need to take time and reflect that God doesn't change, even though the world seems to be spinning round and chaotic. Our readings that we've had this evening started with darkness. They ended with some people in darkness, the shepherds. They would have been able to see the stars. They didn't need to be in a stark sky reserve. But when the angels appeared, the shepherds were terrified and overwhelmed by the light. They responded by going to find out if it was true. And let me encourage you to do that. You might be hearing things and think, well, I hadn't thought about that before. Is that really the case? Well, don't just leave it there and get on with wrapping up the presents or doing what else you've got to do to get ready for Christmas. Take some time to think about it. Take some time to read through that Christmas story again. But don't just leave it there. Finish the rest of the book. You know, you wouldn't pick up a book on your Kindle or a book in a bookshop and just read the first chapter, would you? You'd want to see how it finished. Let me encourage you to read through one of the Gospels, perhaps Luke or Mark's Gospel, and see the impact Jesus had on those he encountered when he'd grown beyond being a baby. And let me encourage you to come back to church. Perhaps you tend to come at Christmas once. Well, let me encourage you to come back before next year. And in case you think, well, I don't really want to come to church, the good news is you can do it in your sitting room. You can watch it online. But come back and think again. You see, Isaiah knew the people were in darkness, that they needed someone to come into their darkness. That opportunity and that offer is here for us all this evening. To look at the child who was born and to see what's available to us. Because Jesus, God's Son, came to earth. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we serve a God who is faithful and keeps his promises. And Father, we thank you for your promise to send a child who would bring light into the darkness. Father, we pray this Christmas time we would experience that again. Give us a fuller understanding of what that child brings and help us to grab hold of it so that our darkness becomes light. Amen.